As I was saying today, I was if I had the duty, but Shirley Peters told me she'd stand by for me, and I was going to go over to the beach party, and of course they canceled it at about 12 or half past 11 or something like that because the water was too rough to put the boats in, and they were afraid to take a chance, and I don't blame them, you know. But I do like the beach parties. I enjoy that sort of thing, you know. It's more what I enjoy doing. And I feel I need the sun. I got out in the sun one day this week. Forget what day it was, but I guess I had been working. I was up most of the night, and so I slept part of the day and then got up in the afternoon and went up in the sun for a couple hours. And it really felt good. I sort of feel like I need it. You know, I need to get some fresh air and sunshine. Because you get down that hole all the time and you don't get to get any fresh air at all, but I felt good, so I didn't get out today, and I'm off tomorrow, and I hope that maybe I can go up in the sun tomorrow if it's nice. We'll see. They said bad weather, and again, we may be busy when we're up by Northern Station. I don't know. We'll soon find out. We ought to be up there by 11 o'clock. I got a new ring. Yeah, that's what you're saying to yourself. She needs that, like another hole in the head. But, because I wouldn't have Kathy know this for the world, but I had really wanted a smoky topaz, which Kathy got me for Christmas. And it's a very lovely ring, but the setting and all is just too big for my hand. The ring is too big for my hand. I don't mean in the sizing of it. I mean, it's just a... It's just a heavy ring, and it's too big. So I was talking to one of the young men who was going to Bangkok, and I told him about it. I wished I had a smoky topaz. He said, "I'll get one for you." So sure enough, he did. He brought it back. Oh, Maria just brought the Boston papers in. He brought it back today, and... That's a lovely thing. I had told him about what I wanted and about the kind of setting that I wanted. And he really did get a nice setting for me. It's very, very simple. The band is simple. And it's a triangular stone. I've just never seen anything quite like it. And the other sits up a little higher, and it's a square stone. And I like, it's a pretty ring, you know, the other topaz I have, but this one I really am crazy about. I told him, I said, gee, if I had gone to pick out a ring myself, that would have been the ring I would have picked out. Of course, he was very pleased. He brought back quite a few rings for people, star sapphires and, oh, the harem rings and things of that sort. And he really did quite a good job at selecting them, I thought. So I'll be, you know, me and rings, how I love them anyway. I've got enough rings now to last me for the rest of my life. So we're not allowed to wear rings on duty, but we can after we get off duty. So I had this thing on. I have a bit of a cold. Not bad, you know. I mean, just enough to keep me coughing a little bit, and I'm not uncomfortable. It's the Vietnam bug that everybody gets. Thank God, I've been so fortunate. I've only had... This is about the third cold I've had on the ship, and some people have them from the time they get out here until the time they go back to the States. So I really can't complain. I feel that I'm doing very well. Let's see, what other news do I have for you? Seems like I should have something to tell you. On the things that I'm most anxious to hear whether or not those lampshades ever got home. They told me now at the post office I can't put a tracer on them for 85 days of their parcel post. And also I sent one package with some soup bowls and a sake set from the Philippines that I guess has not arrived yet. But some of the other things I sent from the Philippines haven't arrived yet either. So I suppose that I can't say anything. I hope by this time you dug out of the snow and that... You're doing well. Kathy wrote me a letter, too, and told me, she thanked me for some money. I sent her for a report card, you know, the usual thing. And she sounds like she's having quite a good time in high school. I'm glad of that. And Phyllis also mentioned her letter that Mark was doing well, and that's kind of encouraging. Anyway, that he hasn't been sick this winter. Gee, a lot of the kids are leaving. They have their flight dates. Mine is March 24th, by the way, but that doesn't mean that I'll be going on that day. And as I said, don't expect me until I get there, and I'll give you enough notice to get down to the airport and pick me up, at least call you the night before. And the reason that I say, you know, anything can happen. Something can happen to my relief that she gets delayed or something. You never know about these things. And I just haven't got my heart set on getting off at a certain date, and then I won't be disappointed. Three of the kids that leave St. Patrick's Day, including Kathleen, and they're kind of disappointed. Some of them wanted to go earlier. Kathleen didn't. I don't know what to make of this one, that young one. She doesn't want to go. She doesn't want to go home. She doesn't want to leave the ship. She wants to, I said to her, oh, when you go home, you'll be making your plans to get married. Now I wonder if she really has had second thoughts about this thing. Now that she's got the wedding gown and everything bought and everything ready to go, I wonder if she's not having second doubts or second thoughts on the subject. She just might be. But anyhow, that's something that she'll have to decide for herself. She's working tonight, working PMs. And I think I told you she's off the Vietnamese ward and has been for a while. She's on intensive care, which is no, oh, you know, they're all half dead in there, it's something. We had a Vietnamese baby die last night, 12 days old. We did surgery on him on Monday to remove this growth from his back that was almost as big as his head. And I don't know why the baby died. And we never will know, because the Vietnamese, it's against their religion to do autopsies, so we can't find out if the kid had anything else wrong with him. But with one congenital anomaly like that, you frequently have another. But the doctor, well, I work with him all the time and know him and understand him, but he gets a little nervous and agitated sometimes. And he said he thought it might be neglect, you know, that they hadn't been watching the baby. And so, of course, the chief nurse was gone, so I was chief nurse in her absence, and I had the ward nurse down to me this morning and the night supervisor this morning before I even got to work telling me about the problem. And I just told him to forget it, that I was sure that it would be all ironed out. And he'll forget it. And he just, at the time, was upset, and I can understand why. Because he does an awful lot of work. He works awfully hard. He does so many craniotomies. It averages out to about one a day. And most of them don't live. You know, they're so badly hit. Or if they live, they're just vegetables when they go back to the States. They're never going to be worth anything. And it would be, in many instances, a godsend if they died. Because they have such bad brain damage. But anyhow, that's neither here nor there. But and so that when you have something that looks like it's going to be successful and the child would be livable and everything, and you know, and then to have him die, you feel badly. But the child may have had some respiratory ailment that you know, don't know about. So when the nurse on duty asked, said, "Well, do you think the child could have had other respiratory ailment?" And he said, "No, because the child survived 4 hours of anesthesia." But I told her, I said, "That doesn't mean anything." I said, "My nephew's got all kinds of congenital anomalies, and he's been under anesthesia more than times you can shake a stick." So I just feel kind of sorry that this is what happened, you know. But as I said, I saw him this afternoon. He seemed to be okay. I hope that the new girl that comes in has got lots of patience, believe me. I had to roll sister's hair tonight. Oh, sister, that's Maria. Everybody calls her sister. Even the doctors call her sister now. And that's from my old Spanish days. I've really gotten quite good at setting hair and, you know, rolling it. And sometimes I comb it out for them, but sometimes I don't. Kathy does a much more exotic job. Kathy gave her the works last night with the eye makeup and all that business. And she looked nice. She really did. When she went over to the stone elephant. Our captain is leaving too. I think he said he's leaving in 1st of May, and I think that's good. You know, it's time. They need a new captain. I don't know where our chief nurse is going. She wants to go to Camp Pendleton, but she doesn't have any orders yet. And since they just got a new nurse there, I rather doubt that she'll get orders there. The cough sounds worse than it is. I can't think if I have anything else I should thank you for or mention to you. It's hard for me to remember. I think I got everything. I was glad there were nothing in that, no packages in that mail call that got put in the drink, because it would have been gone. Somebody got fudged and it was all over everything, you know, you could see everything. And one of Kathy's relatives, whether she'd collected or what, I don't know, but she'd gotten 5 big boxes of coloring books and all kinds of toys for the children, and all 5 boxes were ruined. So she had to take everything and throw them out. She said very few things were salvageable. So that's too bad, you know. It's, somebody goes through all that trouble, you feel sorry that it doesn't work out, you know, that you have to throw that stuff away. But that's life. Seems like I should have more to tell you, but I can't think of anything else right offhand. Got a letter from Ruth, so I don't know if I mentioned that in my last tape or not. I don't have too much more to pack, except for my tape recorder and things to get going out of here. I think I've told you before, I feel quite well. I think I put on about 5 pounds, which I hope I'll lose when I come home. And out here I just don't have any exercise, you know. I have one of those twist things, but this, you know, with a rolling ship, it's, you almost break your neck every time you get on one of those things to twist back and forth. I'm afraid I'm going to fall and break my cotton picking neck. So I'm a little bit leery of that. I can't tell you that I've heard from... Oh, I heard from Annie Dragovan. She's still complaining about Indianapolis. I don't know. She's thinking about going to work in Chicago again at Wesley Memorial. And I guess she should. It was cool enough tonight for our foul weather jack, you know, the kind like I got Dad and Donald and John. You know, we call them our repose minks. And the kids from the Screaming Eagles gave me a patch, for one of their patches for the sleeve. I'll have to sew it on when I get a chance. And we're having a farewell party for Shirley Peters on Monday. She leaves on Tuesday. Wasn't able to get her an elephant, but I'll get her one and mail it to her. U.S. Naval Hospital, Philadelphia. That's where she's going. And let's see, is there anything else that's new? No, just that I should be out of here in a month or so, a few days, one way or the other. I guess I'll have to spend a couple of days in Da Nang before I leave, fly out. I don't know when I'm going to Japan. That, it all depends upon when I'm going to Japan. We'll see what happens. Well, listen, it's coming so close to the end of the tape. I'm just going to say goodbye for now, right when you get a chance, and I'll write too. And take care for now, or I'll make a tape until I can no longer, you know, until I have to pack this stuff off. So take care and goodbye for now.
Any of their gone nuts over there.